It's the Conor Stembus tour day number two. This will be the first interview in English. We have in the bus Jay from Lensboer BV, one of the experiment grow facilities. Welcome to the bus.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So, yeah, you are working for one of the 10 licensed growers in the Dutch weed experiment. How did that come about? And can you tell also a bit what you do at Lensboer?
Yes, it came about just relationships throughout the industry. I've been cultivating large-scale facilities in the United States for over 12 years. Just happened perfect timing. We were selling our facility, and just through relationships, it all lined up, and I got a phone call saying they were looking for somebody and seeing if I was interested, and it happened pretty quick and ended up out here 4 months ago. And at Lensboer, I'm currently the director of operations.
Okay, so the idea of moving to the did you go here before that you got this job, or were you really?
No, not at all. I've never been here. Never had the opportunity to visit. So it was just kind of one of those things where we just packed everything up, me and the wife, and took a risk and came out here, and it's been beautiful.
Okay, that's good to hear. You also worked, as you say, in the cannabis industry in the US. What would you say? Of course, it's only been 4 months, but still, the main difference that you see between American, say, California or Nevada situation there and the situation here in the Netherlands, what would be the main differences?
I really think the way that it's starting out, the way they're doing the experiment is better structured than what we had in America, as far as limiting the amount of cultivators and limiting. That way you're able to limit what gets put into the market. You don't have a huge flood. There's not a big fallout of people investing all their hard money into it and then not being able to cultivate it anymore. So I think it's really smart, and I'm seeing it's also creating good demand to keep the cultivations going and everything running smoothly so far.
Because from what I know, especially in California, indeed, like a lot of smaller producers, like the mom-pop firms, they go out of business because with prices and the taxes so high. Is that still happening? Or
yeah, I mean, unfortunately, a lot of my friends and that have been doing it for way longer than I have, they're all out of business just because there's no license cap. So if you had enough money to buy a license, and then if you had enough money to build a bigger facility, unfortunately, the people that had smaller facilities, they got priced out, where the price per pound went skyrocket to the bottom, and
not a good situation. What have been the biggest challenges in getting the production up and running with Lensboer?
Just getting a new facility dialed in general is always tough. You know, you're always going to have issues with your climate, your irrigation, and you're dealing with living plants. So if irrigation goes down for a day, you could lose a whole room, or the power goes out for an afternoon. So a lot of challenges is kind of fine-tuning and dialing everything in, which always takes time. But other than that, just normal growing pains, and so far it's been pretty decent. So. Mm-hmm.
How many different varieties do you grow at Lensboer, and maybe more interesting, how were they chosen? How do you choose them?
Right now we're growing, I think we have roughly 35 to 40 genetics in our library. We're still working through to choose which ones make it into production. So we'll run small batch runs of it, see how they do, make sure they check all the boxes as far as the nose transfers the smokeability. That way it's good for the customer. And then from there, they go into production runs. So we'll do small batches first of everything, and if they can make it into production, then we move them on into production.
And does that have to do with like the way that you have to grow the variety to get like the real good yield, or is it like, do you test it on an audience, or?
It's a little bit of all of it. So you're looking at all the parameters. How is it to grow on scale? How is it for the workflow? Is it going to add extra work? You're looking also too, does it have the proper nose after it cures? Does it smell like what it does in the bag as it did on the plant? So you're looking for all these factors that can change over time. So we take the time to work through the process and make the decision to make sure what we share with everybody else is something that we would personally want to enjoy.
Mm-hmm. And would you say that the genetics that you have chosen, is it like a lot of American genetics, or What should I think? Because of course, right now you are not yet on the market, so it's very exciting for people like myself who are really into wheat and love the experiment and all the new flavors. Like, what are you gonna? And when will you be on the market? Can you tell something about that?
Yes, actually, I think tomorrow we're gonna do a release at Tourmaline of our Haze Monkey. So that's one of our first strains that's gonna hit the market, which is G13 times Haze, which is very nice. A lot of our strains it's a mix of hazes and some Cali stuff right now and American strains. And then we're just started a really big pheno hunt with Compound Genetics. So we just popped over 2,800 seeds a couple weeks ago and just planted. So we're hunting through hundreds and hundreds of different strains to try to build our beginning library and our base to be able to share unique genetics with everybody. Mm-hmm.
Because maybe to explain a bit for people who are not that much into growing, if you do, what do you do if you do a pheno hunt, and why is it good to have many, many plants like you say that you are growing now?
Yeah, so ideally we do a pheno hunt. It's always good because you're essentially popping, let's say, 50 or 60 of one seed of one genetic. But out of that 60 seeds, we're selecting the best that has the best characteristics that we like and that we think other people will enjoy. So it gives us the ultimate selection to be able to have a quality product at the end.
Yeah, and then you make like mother plants of that one that you take, and then you make clones out of that one.
Yeah, and then put it into production. It does take some time, usually around, you know, 9 months to a year from when a pheno hunt starts to when getting something into production. So it takes time, but it's definitely worth the time.
Yeah. What medium, grow medium, do you use?
We're using Rockwool.
Okay. Yep. And what are the main reasons for that? Because you could use cocoa or maybe just soil or.
Yeah, the main reason, we have a really big facility, and running a large facility on scale, the main thing is cleanliness, keeping everything clean, keeping a lot of the organic material out of the grow environments, and making sure we have, you know, low microbial counts in our rooms, because it's very important. As we do test everything, and we want to make sure we're always providing clean product. Mm-hmm.
Now, the Dutch policy around cannabis and coffee shops is notoriously super difficult to understand because it is really crazy. Do you have the idea that you already have wrapped your head around how it works here in the Netherlands?
I'm learning every day. So just kind of slowly wrapping my head around it and learning as we go and trying to figure it all out. But yes.
Okay. This I was wondering, was to do greenhouse production, was that ever like an option for you guys, or was it more like, no, we just want to have pure indoor facility?
Unfortunately, I wasn't here at that phase, so that was way before I came on board, so I'm not 100% sure if that was an option for them. I know the advantages of them having that indoor facility, or our indoor facility, is just being able to keep everything, like I said before, clean and super, super sterile. And
what is a variety that you are really stoked for to put on the market, or you think this is gonna blow their minds?
We have a couple coming out, but even right now the Haze Monkey is really, really nice. That will be the first one. Some of the other stuff's a ways away, but we do have a Rainbow Belts that is not too far behind. That's going to be super nice, very tasty.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm very curious about it. Okay, the idea is of this project and of these interviews that we do is also that we hope that new members of parliament might watch a few of these clips. Yep. If you, as an American experienced grower, knowing the American situation, what would your message be to new members of parliament who are going to have to debate and decide about the weed experiment, whether we go to legalization? What would be your word for them?
I would say they've already been doing such a great job the way they've set up the experiment. Just keep it going and keep moving forward and giving all these people an opportunity to be able to explore a career in cannabis. It's always been a dream of mine when I was younger, and through legalization in the States, it ended up being a opportunity for me to be able to grow internationally, and giving all these younger people a chance to have a career and provide clean medication too for people that need it. Mm-hmm. So I 100% just is keep on going with it, and just keep working and communicating with us too on things that we can make better in the experiment, and I think it will be great for everybody.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for this interview, and good luck with Lindsboer.
Thank you. I appreciate it.